We are eternally children of God. Amen. Eternally saved. Eternally secure. And now we certainly praise God for another vessel to tell us about that security that we have in Christ. How do I know she's going to tell us about security in Christ? Because here is ministered in this ministry is ministered the gospel of the grace of God. And God's grace is the securest thing that in existence. Secure. Amen. So without further ado, we're certainly praising God for, yes, the Liverman duo, but today, Elder Sister Karen Liverman, to bring the message of the gospel, our gospel in this day, this dispensation, the gospel of the grace of God. Let's receive Elder Sister Karen Liverman.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We are so blessed to assemble one more time in the name of Jesus. We thank and praise the Lord for all the many benefits that He has blessed us with. Hallelujah. By knowing who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. As you bow your head with me, I'd appreciate if we'd have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of coming boldly to the throne of grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for knowing who we are in Christ and knowing more about you and your plan of salvation for us. Father, we're praying right now for those that are on their way, every family that's represented here, both in the presence and in our World Wide Web audience. We ask that you open up our eyes that we may behold the mysteries of the doctrine of the grace of God. We're asking, Lord, that you might give us hearing ears, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will minister to us. Open up our hearts and our minds of knowing more of who we are in you and what was wrought for us through the blood of Jesus. Lord, we ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When you see me coming, you know where I'm coming from. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's where I start. And then when I finish, let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you can never get enough of Ephesians. And when I leave Ephesians, where do I go? Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. Do you know you got to know that your life is completed in Christ and God? That there are no accidents, no coincidences, that you are in the will of God because you've always been in the will of God. Hallelujah! Let's give the Lord a hand. Oh, yeah, I'm fired up today. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm bringing it. The Holy Ghost is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I was studying the other night, and I had to put it down. I don't know if y'all ever done that. Studying, and what you're studying is so marvelous. The Holy Spirit is opening up things to you that are so marvelous. I understand why Paul said it's unspeakable. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just can't say nothing, but hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. For those that are tracking us in the World Wide Web audience, we are ministering from the Eternal Comprehension of Now, the pastor's pen dated June the 6th, 2015. I thought I would finish it last time, but I wasn't able. And guess what? Might not do it today either. God may grant me another opportunity of coming before you. But as Deacon reads Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 to 5, both in the King James and the Greek, please.
Again, we are reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, first from the King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, from the Interlinear Greek text. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ.
Amen.
As he chose us in him before foundation of world to be or being us holy and unblemished before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to him, according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Note verse 4. It says, according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. These are all past completed. We were chosen when? In eternity before the foundation of the world. Your salvation is not something that just occurs in time. Your salvation was actualized in eternity before time. Before time, before there was a you in this body, God had elected you to be part of the body of Christ. So your salvation is an eternal entity. If you don't get that right, if you don't know that God had pre-selected you in eternity as part of his plan, then you'll be confused about what happens in time. You know, James, and that's outside of our basic doctrine, but we use it to collaborate. James says, count it not strange when divers transitions come into your life. We're not to count it strange, but we do, don't we? We think when something bad happens, who is it? The devil. Oh yeah, we need to bind Satan up. We need to repeat scriptures and form a prayer line and fast and, you know, we. When it actually, everything is already done. Hallelujah. He is already, that's right, sister. It's already done. He's already made you a conqueror. He's already solved the problem. And when were they solved? In eternity. Before the foundation of the world. And then when I leave Ephesians, and keep your hand there because we're coming back a little later, where do we go? Colossians. Yeah. We're going to read Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. Deacon, both in the King James and Greek.
Now, Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 2 of it, beginning verse 9 and ending verse 10. First King James Version. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10 from the Interlinear Greek text. Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are in him, having been filled, who is the head of all rule and authority.
Thank you. Having been filled or having been completed.
Yes.
Having been completed. When? As we walk through this life during in time? No. You were filled, you were completed in him in eternity before the foundation of the world. We'll go to our document now, and I'm going to kind of backtrack from what we did a few weeks ago. And we're reading from the Eternal Comprehension of Now. Hence the inquiry is, who are those loving, caused to love God in the present now? Is the Is this referencing those who profess emotional relationships with God, which is exemplified through their flesh? Accordingly, to scripturally enlightened conveyance outlined in eternal context, the ever more informed expression revealed that it is thoroughly understood that natural humankind in the flesh, in the present now, are dead in sin to God. Thus, the sole initiation of relationship was established in eternal now, and we reference Romans chapter 8 verse 1, and it reads in the Greek, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, period. It's not conditional. Doesn't have anything to do with you fasting and praying and finding Jesus, who was never lost. Jesus wasn't lost. You know, you decided to follow. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. He caused you. We, as depraved human beings, can't make that decision. Do you know that you would have no love in your heart at all except by the Holy Ghost pouring that love out on you? We are loveless. Yeah, yeah. As mothers, some of us don't even love our kids. As fathers, we walk away and don't love our kids. If it not be for the Holy Ghost, you would have no love at all. You'd have a black hole of a heart. But, thank God, Romans chapter 5:5 says that the love of God is poured out on us by the Holy Ghost. And that's why you love, because He has caused you to love. He has caused you to come. You didn't do it on your own. It goes on to say that as thoroughly documented in extraction of what occurred, such as God's purpose, this is a predetermined chart based upon His love and in accordance with all God in decree restored His beloved into fellowship with Him. That reference is Romans 9:11. Again, it talks about Esau, have I hated, Jacob have I loved. And that was before they were even born. He had selected one above the other. And it also references Ephesians 1:11, and that talks about the sovereignty of God. Hallelujah. 1:11. My husband loves that. It talks about what is according to God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:11. And then, of course, 2 Timothy 1:9. And Deacon, can you turn to that? We are going to reference that. According to God. Yeah.
Now we're reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, first from the King James Version. Chapter 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
You know, I used to think that our lives were a testimony to each other. Well, I was raised in a church. We had testimony service before we had the regular service on Sunday night, and the saints would get up and praise the Lord. Some of them would get up with same old complaints, same old everything. But, you know, I thought that it was a time for us, testimony, to encourage each other. But your life is not a testimony to encourage me. Your life is a testimony to God. Your life is reflecting the goodness and grace of God for others to see. Yeah. Now, you may say, oh, Sister Karen, my life is a mess. Well, you know what? That's all according to God's purpose. It may be a mess today. It don't have to stay a mess. If God's will is that it take another route. And sometimes, as you know, it does. Your life is a testimony to the glory and goodness of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's what your life is about. It's about the glory and goodness of God. Hallelujah. His workings and His purpose. His divine will and purpose. That's what your life is about. Can you please read it in the King, in the Greek interlinear?
Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, from the interlinear Greek text. Of thee having saved us, and having called us with a holy, not according to the works of us, but according to his own purpose and grace, given to us in Christ Jesus before times eternal.
If you don't have salvation in its proper place, your whole life is still going to be a mess. You're going to be up and down. You're not going to be able to do the vertical viewing that we always talk about. And as you vertical view, you follow a life of peace. Hallelujah. That's where the peace is. That's where you get the peace that passes all understanding, from viewing life from the vertical plane, where God sits, where you realize God is in control, that your life is completed in God, that you didn't do anything wrong, the reason things are happening and unfolding in your life, that it's all according to God's divine will and purpose. A component of this entails God in sovereignty as having called chosen ones unto himself by means of the Holy Spirit. We already talked about that. And we reference as well Colossians 3:15. In this sense, Romans 8:28, referencing rendered called ones, who having been called, constituting those who are called to love God. It is not our choice. God has selected you in eternity, called you out unto himself, and caused you to love. It's an act of God, not of you, not your choice. Conversely, scriptural precision is affirmed in their declarations that chosen ones are heirs of God's kingdom and eternal now, and we reference again Romans 8:17. Hence, eternal conclusion is that which granted dispersions of unrevealed ownership of things unseen in the present now. Though not being presently resonated in the physical secular arena, inasmuch such having been actually received from the dispenser or donor God, all grace and glory were granted in Christ before times eternal. And we're going to reference Timothy again, chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. We just read it. How he chose you before times eternal. You have to realize that you are special to God, that he picked you out before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. In this insight, actualized possessions are receptions solely by virtue of God's gift, as such has been presented prior to actually being manifestly received in time's testimonial. See, we want to put everything in time. Time is a vehicle, a creation, to manifest the actualized plan of God that was completed in Christ in eternity. That's all time is. It's for testimonial, manifestation of God's divine will and purpose. Present now's imminence of God's decree solely established that eternal validation locates unshaken, notwithstanding its unscriptural attacks. Hence, none of its protesting are weightier enough to fracture its completion. So, whatever goes on in time still does not change your outcome. I'll say that again. Whatever that happens in time does not alter your outcome. And what is our final outcome? We, the body of Christ, go back to be with him where we started. Hallelujah. You win. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. You win. You win. Regardless of what happens here, it does not change who you are in Christ and what was wrought for you through the blood of Jesus. That's a done deal. Your sonship position in him never changes. Various allegoric assertions and visual vicissitudes indulge processions within physical suppositional imaginations charter unsubstantiated perils. Now that's a whole lot. Let me tell you what it means. Yeah, let me tell you what it means. You know, I used to teach the young kids, and Iman said to me one time, she said, Sister Liverman, she said, and she's a really smart cookie. Both of those girls are smart. Matter of fact, their son is too. All three of them are just really, they got it going on. She'd say, what did he mean in pastor's pen? So what I did, I started teaching from the pastor's pen. I have to go back over it. So what he was saying right there is that everything in time may appear to be unsubstantiated, but it is all substantiated in God. Now that's an easier way. That's a different way, Pastor. Everything is substantiated in God. Everything is substantiated in God. It may look unsubstantiated to us as we're traveling through this life, but it's all substantiated in God. And he used, we can reference Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, when it talks about putting on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Hallelujah. What are the armor? The armor are invisible. It doesn't talk about getting a regular shield. The shield is what? Faith. It doesn't talk about a regular sword. The sword is what? The word. Yeah, it's all substantiated in him. He has equipped you to triumph in whatever comes your way. You win. Whatever comes, you win. And that's what he was saying. Everything that appears to be unsubstantiated in time is substantiated in God. Hallelujah. Just get the Lord out of here. It's a pure life is substantiated in God. Hallelujah. You see why I couldn't keep still? You see why I was happy studying this stuff? Our lives are completed in Christ and God, and we win. I don't care how it appears. You are winning. You're winning. There are no unrealized disclosures in eternal possessions. And that's where we go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Impulsive objections advance against the doctrine that all was prearranged in subjection to God's eternal purpose. Your life is scripted. Yeah, it's preset. You are safe. You are secure. You are a conqueror in Christ. Now, may not always look like we're conquering. I was talking to my auntie yesterday, and she had had a little boo-boo on a car, and we first thought it was one number, and when they finally got into it, it was double the number, and she said, "Oh my gosh," you know, but. You know what? God has a purpose for that too, Auntie. God has a purpose for that. We may not understand all of the purposes of God, but he has a purpose for every iota in our life. Everything that goes on, it's all according to God's will, and it's all according to God's purpose. Perpetual perseverance are exclusively in grace and endless glory. As such, were granted in Christ from everlasting, as they are not seen in any other further sense. In this insight, none are separated in which they could not actually be because none are transient acts of God. Things are not just coming out of the blue. Things are not just being sent by the devil. Let's talk a little bit about the devil. We talked about him before. Yeah. He too is a created being. He's not a free radical. He's not creating anything. Whatever he has his hands in is what he's been sent to have his hands in. For what? For God's glory, for God's divine will, for God's purpose in your life. Do you know, we all want to identify with Christ, but we don't want to identify with suffering. And we don't want to connect the sufferings of life to the will and the identification with Christ. The Bible says, it pleased God that he suffer. And guess what, guys? It pleases God that you suffer. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand. That's why James says, don't think it's strange when diverse situations come. He says, one translation I have says, welcome them as friends. Do you know if you're viewing life from the vertical plane, you're able to welcome adversity as friends? You're able to say, okay, it's coming. I know it's coming to pass, and I know it's coming because God has purposed it to come. For his testimony, for his divine will, for his glory. Hallelujah. And that's the truth. That's why it comes. They were eternally produced rather than transitions in quantity of physical, secular, resonating substance. Actualization is necessarily primarily because such were made genuine by God's grace. Whatever's coming, God has given you the grace to overcome it. Therefore, the reality of being in grace is solely an eternality's venue, as there could be None other than actualized representations of Christ. That's what we are when we identify with Christ. We want to identify with all the good, but we want to ignore the bad. Realize, think it's come from another source. All things are of God. All things are according to God. Actualized existence is an eternal act of God's limitless grace in Christ. And we reference Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. We're going to read that. Such is not creative of any inherent transformations were such charts that physical existence is not necessarily to actualize production. And turn with me, please, to Colossians. We're going to read that. It's that important. And Deacon, we're going to start at 12, because again, I want you to get, you know, sometimes you have to reference ahead in order to get the full flavor of what you're trying to get to. And so if you can read that, please, in the King James, starting at 12, and take it down to, I think I have 19? Okay. Thank you.
Now, we're reading from the book of Colossians, King James Version, chapter 1, verses 12 through 19. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it, verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
You know, a lot of times you hear me say that we are not all children of God. And sometimes people, they differ with me on that. They'll say, oh, you know, we all God's children. I say, no, we're not. No, we're not. We're not all God's children. And this here in verse 13, it tells you. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? That's the body of Christ. That's the us. Everybody has not been delivered from the powers of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's the body of Christ. That's us. We are all fellow creatures of the same Creator, but we are not all the same. Because some of us were elected in eternity to be members of the body of Christ, the called out chosen ones. And that's what we're establishing here, that we are the called out chosen ones. And it goes on and talks about that there are thrones. And we're, Deacon, can you read 16 and 17, please, in the interlinear for me?
Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 from the interlinear Greek text. Because in him were created all things in the heavens and on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or beginnings or authorities, all things through him and for him have been created. In 17, and he is before all things, and all things in him consisted.
Amen. And I'd like to give you a couple of references for your further study. I'd like you to study later on Hebrews 11:3 as well as Romans 13:1. They all tie in to the fact that he was before all things, that in him all things exist, and that we were part of that plan. And that whatever happens to you, it comes for the glory of God according to his divine will and purpose. You've got to understand that it's not a mistake. That if it appears, it appears for a reason. And all of it is to glorify God. That's why you can turn your light off. That's why Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Those that are the called according to his purpose. So whatever's happening in your life is for your good. Even if it doesn't look like it's for your good, it is. Because we don't know the mind of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Corinthians, we look through a glass dimly. We don't see the whole picture, but God's got it. And that's what you have to trust in. Eternal possessions are accessory of God's beloved futations in the spiritual now is none other than his embedded grace imputed in Christ in eternity. This is exclusively in God's granted allegiance in the essence of actualized lodging in Christ, communicated by which such were awarded. Comprehensions of eternal enlightenment equate God's promise as one of the same as an imminent act and consequently eternal rather than at some certain time confirmed. These environs of alterations greatly differ from perseverance of promises reflected in physical illumination. See, a lot of times we try to go by what we see. But do you know what you see is not the real? It's not the real real. It's a reflection. Kind of like you looking at a mirror. You're looking at yourself in the mirror. That's not, and that's really, you know, you in life really have not even seen your face. Did you all know that? Think about it. Have we ever seen our own face in actuality? What do we look at? A mirror, and we see a what? Reflection. When I put my makeup in the morning, I don't reach into the mirror and put the makeup on the mirror. When my husband puts his tie on in the morning, he doesn't reach in the mirror to straighten his tie. Now, I have seen his face, and I like it. Yeah, I do. Almost 40 years, I'm still liking it. Yeah, I like it. And I've not seen my face, but he has. You know, so what am I saying? I'm saying what you see is subject to change any minute. Don't put all your eggs in the basket of what you see. Matter of fact, don't put none of them in what you can see. Because what you can see is subject to change in the twinkling of an eye. What is actually going to occur, regardless of how things look stacked up against you, is the will of God. And that's why we're to pray for the will of God. We're to embrace the will of God. Amen. Because guess what? The will of God going to be done anyway. Amen. Eternal compliance of actualized essence is resident in origination of now as opposed to progressions in processes reputed in its time sequencing. Thus, eternity does not need realized alliances in time. I'll read that again. Eternity does not need realized alliances in time. Time sequencing. Doesn't need it. That's why in many instances in the scriptures you see where segments of time were skipped. And I'll give you an example. I was thinking about this, and if you remember Jesus at the wedding, remember the miracle, the first one he did, making water into wine, fine wine. Didn't say grape juice, it said wine, but we ain't going to talk about that today. But Jesus did a miracle. And the background of that miracle, his mother said to him, they got into a bind at the wedding. I probably didn't say it was a relative, but it might have been a relative or a close friend. And she says, go and do whatever he tells you to do. And then Jesus sort of rebuked. He says, woman, it's not my time. But being the obedient son, see us mothers, we have powers. Did y'all know that? Yeah. Being the obedient son, he complied with what his mother requested, but it was out of time. Y'all getting a picture of that? Now, how did she know what he could do? Well, my God, she'd been living with him all them years. She'd seen a whole lot of things that weren't explainable. And you know what? If you examine your life, you too have seen things
in times that were unexplainable. Many times the acts of God go by unnoticed because we kind of take some things for granted. But if you sit back, you can think about unexplainable acts that God has brought out of sequence in time. It didn't require time. I'm going to give you an example real briefly of what went on with my son, Harvey. I talked about him before. He's my son that has hemophilia. He's medically fragile. And he's 31. God blessed him to be 31, and he had been pronounced lost to us many times before that. He calls me. He doesn't usually call too much, not complaining anyway. But he called one day. He said, Mom, he said, I'm scared. I said, you're scared? I said, well, don't feel bad. I said, all of us become afraid sometimes. He said, no, you're never afraid. I said, I'm afraid all the time of some things, usually not about myself, because I realize I'm hidden in Christ and God, and whatever happens, I'm saying bring it on, because I know God causes me to triumph. But for others, many times I become fretful, and then I have to go back into my vertical viewing. And that's what I have practiced, and that's kind of what I do. So he said, well, Mom, he said, the team in Ann Arbor, University of Michigan, have no plan for me. They've consulted with Mayo, and everybody seems to be stumped, you know, because all of his accesses for his infusions, which causes him to continue to live, stops the bleeding, they've all failed. He has no access. And so he's got a PICC line, which is temporary, but he said, it's kind of scary for me. I said, well, it's scary for me too, honey. I said, well, we know God is in control, and God's will is what's going to be done. So he says, well, you know, Mom, he says, they have a study in Japan. He said, and it's a prophylactic, and it keeps your levels so high that you don't have any bleeds. He says, but that study is going to be in Japan for 2 years. Then it's going to Australia for 2 years. Then it'll come to the U.K. in 2 years. And maybe I can get on the study in U.K. Maybe. He says, but I'm afraid. I don't know if I have that much time. I said, well, your time and your days are numbered to God, number one. They're numbered of God. I said, and who is to say you can't go to Japan? You don't have to wait 2 years for the U.K. and 2 years for Australia. God can make a way for you to go to Japan. He says, well, Mom, that's not likely. I said, all things are possible with God. We prayed and hung up. And what did I pray? The Lord's will be done. My son goes to camp a few weeks ago, and he calls me back excited. He says, Mom, guess what? I said, what? He said, there's a nurse here from U of M, and she said, they're talking about me in Japan. Hallelujah! Let's give another hand. Let's give another hand. He said they know about me in Japan. Yes! Now, we're skipping a little of those other sequences for the normal trial. And they know about my boy in Japan. Now, think about your life. There have been some times when you thought you were on a train with no track. And God said, no, it's going to go on. There have been times when you've had bad reports. And God said, no, you're going to rise up from that. So we have to put our trust and confidence in God. Hallelujah. Realizing that His way is way above our confined to time sequencing. That right now, we are in the eternal now. Right now, we sit in heavenly places with Christ. Right now, we win. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there might be some suffering. Romans chapter 8 talks about suffering, that we're joint heirs in suffering with Christ. But the suffering comes for His glory. Hallelujah. If you're going to reign with Him, you may have to suffer some down here with Him. Amen, amen. But realize in all things that God is in control. Suffering identifies us with Christ. Just as Christ is glorified in God through His suffering, God is glorified in us through our suffering. So there may be some cloudy days. But you realize that weeping endures only for a night, that the joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. That your suffering, you're going to be a conqueror. Your suffering will bring a testimony to God. Your suffering is well-pleasing to God. It's part of our salvation. It's part of our life. It's part of our walk. Saints, viewing life from the vertical plane of our sonship position in Christ and what God has done for us through His eternal plan of salvation should bring peace to your daily lives. Saints, walk by faith and not by sight, giving thanks to God for all things, for this is the will of God concerning you. God bless you.
Come on, give the Lord another hand. Amen. Thank God. Give the Lord another hand. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.